Again, my name is Catherine Ward, and today I'm going to be talking about the Kazakhstan Orphan Nutrition Project, which is a program of Spoon Foundation that was started in response to high levels of malnutrition observed among children recently adopted from Kazakhstan. I have no relationships to disclose. And today I'm going to provide an overview from the beginning to where we are presently with the project. We started with a baseline assessment, have conducted some qualitative research in the middle, and are currently in the process of developing a training of trainers. To provide you with a little bit of background, the Kazakhstan Orphan Nutrition Project is the first known effort worldwide to specifically identify the nutritional needs of children living in orphanages and similar institutions. On your right, you'll see a map of Kazakhstan. It is the largest country, land area-wise, in Central Asia, bordered by Russia and China. It is home to over 48,000 orphans. This includes social orphans, so children who have not necessarily lost parents. And when we talk about baby houses in Kazakhstan, these are institutions that are for children ages birth to 3 years old. However, some baby houses in Kazakhstan do have children up to the age of five. There are more than 25 of these baby houses in Kazakhstan that are home to more than 1,800 children. Now, initially, the project started with the objective to provide comprehensive data on the nutritional needs of orphan children living in Kazakhstan's baby houses. We have data sets on children who are recent international adoptees, but no data on children who are currently living in institutions. Over the years, the project has evolved with the objective of creating a sustainable and scalable model for preventing orphan malnutrition, which includes institutional and policy level changes and caregiver training. Our team for this project included Spoon Foundation, the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition, who is a WHO Coordinating Center on Nutrition, and a team of experts from the University of Minnesota from School of Medicine and School of Public Health. Now, with our team, we designed a study, a 9-month randomized trial using baseline and follow-up data. Initially, we had 10 baby houses at baseline, but only 8 actually agreed to participate in the intervention. And these baby houses were randomized to 4 different intervention conditions, the first being a new menu that was developed by the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition. The second were vitamin supplements. These were multivitamin mini tabs. The third group received the new menu and vitamins, and then the fourth group received no change. And I should mention that following the intervention, all baby houses that participated have continued to receive these multivitamin mini tabs. At baseline, our population sample included 286 children ages 0 to 36 months old. The 0 to 36 month age range is our focus group because that is the critical period of brain development in young children. Our intervention group, however, realistically included children starting at age 6 months because before 6 months, the children are only receiving formula, and so with the new menu change, would only affect children over 6 months old. And again, we did have 10 baby houses at baseline, but only 8 participated in the study. And this population excluded children with special needs, a diagnosed special need. Now, for our control group, our comparison, for the measures of motor and mental development, we did use a general population sample. The Bayley Scales of Infant Development use a general population curve for these developmental measures. For anthropometrics and iron, we did have a control group of 90 children attending a local public kindergarten in Kazakhstan. Kindergarten is about the equivalent of preschool in Kazakhstan, so in terms of age. Our baseline measures included, as I mentioned, the Bayley Scales of Infant Development, which is essentially the gold standard in motor and mental development. We looked at weight and length, and then several nutrient biomarkers. We looked at iron, vitamin D, ferritin, which are iron stores, albumin, which is blood protein levels, and iodine and zinc. At baseline, our results were very surprising to us. You can see iron stores, albumin, which is blood protein levels. Nearly half the children in our sample experienced mild to severe motor developmental delays, compared to only 16% in a general population. Likewise, with measures of mental development, over half of the children in the orphan population had mild to severe developmental delays, compared to only 16% in general population. And you'll also notice that 0% of the children were accelerated in mental development. For anthropometrics, you'll see the orphan children on the left and kindergarten sample on the right. We use WHO standards for the definitions of stunting, underweight, and wasting. You'll notice that over twice the amount of children in our orphan sample were stunted. That's low height for age. Almost eight times the amount of children were underweight. That's low weight for age. And nearly, or 10 times the amount of children in the orphan sample were wasted. That's low weight for height. And these numbers were particularly surprising because these percentages are percentages you would see in a famine situation. As for the nutrient biomarkers, 37% of the children in our sample were iron deficient, 38% were vitamin D deficient, 25% ferritin deficient, and 22% were albumin deficient. There were no significant deficiencies in iodine and zinc. Compared with the kindergarten sample, you'll notice that over twice as much anemia was seen among our orphan children. Cumulatively, 73% of the children at baseline had one or more nutrient deficiency or nutrition-related condition. Now, unfortunately, with our intervention, we did see very high levels of attrition, and so, unfortunately, we're unable to draw any conclusions as to the effectiveness of any of the intervention conditions. You'll notice, if you remember, we had 286 children at baseline, but for height and length, only 34 children were available for follow-up and complete data. So very, very high attrition rates. And lesson learned, this is actually a very difficult population to do any kind of long-term work with because children age out. They leave baby house care for various reasons. If they're a social orphan, they may have returned to their family. They may have been fostered out. In Kazakhstan, the foster care system is called patronat. They also may have been adopted domestically or just generally unavailable for follow-up if they were receiving outside medical care or moved to another institution for various reasons. But despite these high attrition rates, the Kazakhstan Ministry of Health was so impressed by the work we were doing with the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition that they worked with the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition to develop new nutritional norms and a standardized menu to be implemented in all baby houses throughout Kazakhstan. This went to Parliament in early 2012 and was passed into law this past spring. Now, the way laws are disseminated in Kazakhstan brought some concern to us because we didn't know how the directors were feeling about suddenly being forced to implement this new menu. And so our team decided to do some surveys with the directors of the baby houses to learn a little bit about some of the barriers or challenges they perceived with implementing this new menu, as well as addressing some of the strengths they saw as being helpers in addressing this new menu. And so we administered surveys to each of the 25 baby houses. However, we only received 8 back. And these questions, as I mentioned, included demographics, assets and barriers, and needs. Now, some of the strengths identified by the directors in these surveys included that they felt their staff was very experienced and received specialized training, particularly their cooks and diet nurses. And so they felt they were well equipped to implement this new menu. A number of the baby houses were able to procure food locally, so increasing the diet diversity opposed to this national lottery or ordering system they use for food frequently. And a lot of them also felt like their menu quality was already very good, and so they wouldn't have a major problem in making the changes. Now, one of the major challenges that stood out to us the most was that of the baby houses surveyed, nearly half of the children in these baby houses did have diagnosed special needs. However, caregivers received little or no training related to caring for children with special needs. Some other challenges that were mentioned included that they felt their staff were, even though experienced, were very overburdened. They worked long shifts, had no volunteer assistance, and also received very little training related to nutrition and feeding. And they also felt, those who had seen the new menu, felt that it was incomplete or not practical for their baby house. Now, these surveys led up to a workshop that we had this past May with the directors. We really wanted to bring them all together to have somewhat of an open forum related to the new menu and new norms, we also wanted to present these baseline results and bring awareness to this issue of orphan malnutrition. And talk further, we brought in some experts to talk further about this relationship between nutrition and nurture and how you can't have one without the other for optimal growth and development in children, just in general. And so we had 25 representatives from baby houses, 15 representatives from various countries in Central Asia and Russia. And we had guided discussion, presentations from experts, and talked about these director surveys and the responses we received. And we actually found there's quite a bit of consensus with the group with those director surveys. And so we felt that those 8 surveys were pretty representative of the entire group of directors. And so when we had this guided discussion, we focused on these issues of how to change nutrition and how to change nurture. And we looked at what was most changeable in each of those areas. And so the directors identified some areas of ways to improve nutrition in addition to this new menu. So they wanted to request vitamin and supplement donations. Those baby houses who had continued to receive these vitamin supplement donations following the intervention felt very positive about these vitamins and supplements, and so really encouraged the other directors to also look to various organizations to donate vitamins and supplements. And they also wanted to continue to have this open forum with the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition to make changes and address their concerns with the new menu and new nutrition norms. They also wanted to recruit volunteers. This is a very positive discussion because this was a major change for a former Soviet country to actually bring in volunteers into their baby house. And they also wanted to improve their training for staff, which was also encouraging for us as well. While in Kazakhstan, our team did have an opportunity to make observations in several baby houses. We were able to make these observations during mealtime. And so we observed some feeding practices that have some major implications on a child's overall social-emotional development and could have some serious health complications. So one of those feeding practices was feeding from behind, where the caregiver is not making eye contact with the child and not being responsive to their feeding and hunger cues. And this can have major implications with attachment. We also observed rapid feeding, this very, very fast feeding, which puts a child at risk for aspiration. We know chronic aspiration puts a child at risk for pneumonia. And a recent study in Russia showed that children in institutions are 7 times more likely to die from pneumonia than children living in families. We also firsthand observed this lack of special needs feeding skills. It's not that the caregivers didn't care, they just didn't know. And some other things we observed were feeding equipment that was developmentally inappropriate, so very large spoons, and lack of adaptive seating for children with special needs. Here are some pictures. You'll notice in the upper left is the feeding from behind, the very large amount of food being shoveled into the child's mouth. In the lower left, you'll notice how large the spoon actually is. You can't even see the little boy's nose. The spoon is so large. And on the right is a child with cerebral palsy who is being fed without adaptive seating, without proper positioning, and without an adaptive bottle. And so these can be very problematic, not only for typical children, but also for children with special needs. Now, based on our observations, based on our discussion with caregivers and directors and our surveys, we're currently in the process of developing a training of trainers, with the target being these caregivers and their training needs. We plan to hold this early next year in Astana, Kazakhstan, which is the capital. Our target audience is chief educators, and depending on the hierarchy of a baby house, the chief educator is either their chief pediatrician or their chief caregiver. And again, based on these caregiver training needs, we're going to hold this and train this chief educator to further train the caregivers at each of those baby houses. Now, following this, we will be monitoring these caregiver training practices, so monitoring the implementation of the training at each of the baby houses, and also working with the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition to further monitor this implementation of the new menu and the new norms. And in the future, we hope to expand and refine the Kazakhstan Orphan Nutrition Project to replicate in other countries and with other orphan populations. So we hope to first expand to other Central Asian countries just based on the similarities in culture and structure of their orphan care system, and then also include other orphan populations in the future. If you remember, we excluded children with special needs in our original intervention, and so we would love to include these children and assess their nutritional needs and address them further, as well as expand to an older orphan populations and addressing their needs. So I'd just like to thank Dr. Mary Hurst and Dr. John Himes from the University of Minnesota and Musa Aishnaf and Aigul Sizdikova from the Kazakh Academy of Nutrition. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very interesting.